But I think it's so important to never hold your kids back. That's the whole reason that we did these surgeries. And if you want them to grow up to be a healthy, capable, empowered adult, you have to not protect them more than they need growing up.
What's it like to be the mother of a daughter with a critical congenital heart defect and then become a grandmother to that daughter's daughter? What was it like meeting that granddaughter for the very first time? Has the new mother ever heard something come out of her mouth that was something her mother said? Welcome to Heart with Anna. I am Anna Jaworski and your host. I'm also a heart mom to an adult who was born with a single ventricle heart and who is 28 years old. That is the reason I'm the host of your program. Today's episode is called Heart Mom and Heart Daughter on Being a Mom, and our guests are Meg Didier and Patty Hansen. These two ladies are so special to me, and my loyal listeners will remember Meg Didier from her February 7th debut on Heart to Heart with Anna earlier in 2023. Meg is a 30-year-old hypoplastic left heart syndrome survivor and a mother. After we finished her recording, HLHS survivor and mother, I said it would be so wonderful to have her back on the show with her own mother for May 2023, especially in celebration of Mother's Day. And she agreed. And so we have her mom here today, which is super exciting. Patty Hansen and I met online over 2 decades ago when the internet was young. We met via a listserv and shared inspiring stories about our heart warriors, questions we had with one another, and we prayed for each other. We gave each other helpful advice and encouraged one another. When I decided to put together an anthology of stories by women around the world affected by congenital heart defects, Patty contributed an essay entitled Finding the Good, which you can read starting on page 179 of The Heart of a Mother. But this is my first time to actually speak with Patty on the podcast. So welcome to Heart with Anna, Patty Hansen.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. And welcome back to Heart with Anna, Meg Didier.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here again.
I'm going to start the podcast with Patty. And then in the second segment, we'll talk to you, Meg. And then in the third one, we'll all be together. How's that sound, girls?
Sounds good.
Perfect. Okay, here we go. So, Patty, I can't believe we're finally talking to one another. Did you ever think the two of us would be talking about our grown-up adult heart warriors?
I think I just never pictured Megan growing up, and not because she had a heart defect, but it's crazy for me to still think that I have a child in their 30s now.
I know. We're not old enough, Patty. We're just not old enough, honey.
No, you're not. I don't feel old enough to have a child that is not a child.
Oh, I know. It went by way too fast, didn't it?
Yes, it's crazy. I tell that to Megan all the time. You're going to blink and you're not going to believe how fast it goes by.
I know, right? So my heart warrior is 28. Yours is a little bit older. But I have an older son who is 31, and I have a granddaughter with that son.
Oh, yep. Megan's 31. And I have not gone to the grand titles yet.
Oh, no? So you're not an Oma like me?
I am a mom's mom.
Oh.
And Megan is probably saying, I can't believe you're actually saying that. But I'm a mom's mom, and I call her a daughter's baby. I'm in massive denial, and I think I'll stay that way.
Oh, you are too fine. No. Wait until you hear her for the first time call you a special name. Now, here's a funny story. I don't know if I've ever shared this on the air. When I was a little girl, my mother had two sisters, and one of her sisters had children before my mom did, and her sister wanted her children to call her grandmother by the name they used for their grandmother. Now, they grew up in the South, and they used to call their grandmother Mama. So they tried to get my cousin to say Mama. Forget it. It didn't happen. She just came out Grandma. The Mama didn't work. Grandma came out instead. And so when my mother had me, she wanted me to say Mama. Couldn't do it. Came out Moo Moo. And so my grandmother loved it. She thought it was adorable. She said, I'm the only Moo Moo. Nobody else is called Moo Moo. So then when my mother's younger sister had children, She wanted them to call her Moo-Moo. Well, forget it. They couldn't say it. So they called her Tutu. My grandmother went by Grandma with one set of grandchildren, Moo-Moo by another set, and Tutu by the third set. So you know what? Your granddaughter's going to come up with something, but it may not be what you think it is.
Well, my dad went by Captain for my kids. So I figure if my dad can be Captain, I could be Mom's mom.
I guess so. I guess so. We'll see what happens. I'll have to have you back on the show next year and we'll find out what your granddaughter's calling you. Okay, let's get more serious here and let's talk about how scary it must have been for you when you found out that Meg was expecting a baby.
She had talked about it for quite a while, and the subject of having a baby was something she talked about since she was a teenager, wondering if it was ever possible. And then when she was married, then it became more of a, wait, okay, we now we really do need to figure this out.
Sure.
So when she got the okay from her doctors to go ahead and try to get pregnant, then it was like going back to the same mindset that I was in while she was growing up, that I knew there were a million things that could go wrong.
Sure.
But if I focused on those, I would probably just die of a heart attack or stroke one day. So I went by, as long as the doctor said it was okay, I was going to go full force and not let all of the scary things be in my mind, because otherwise it would completely overtake me. So there were a lot of times like something might happen, something little that she was doing, and I would be super nervous about her being pregnant. But really, I just had to go, like I said, the exact same mindset from when she was younger. And I was just so excited for her because it was a complete dream for her. So that was definitely what I focused on. And I had a whole life with her learning how to not focus on the things that were scary. As long as the doctor said it was okay, I was going to just let that stuff go, because otherwise it would eat me alive.
And that's what I loved about the essay that you wrote from my book, Finding the Good. I have the same mindset as you do. It's so easy to focus on the negative, but then that just brings you down. And I think the one thing that we learned as heart moms is every day matters. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. So let's make the most of it. Well, you sure don't want to be a big black cloud that whole time, right?
Right. And like I said, it would eat me alive, and I couldn't even survive it myself.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm so glad that you were able to enjoy your daughter's pregnancy, and that the news didn't terrify you, and instead you could be excited for her, because having that mindset makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, but it was definitely a choice to not let it terrify me. And I had moments, but I had to pull it back in and know it wasn't like I was going to be able to change the situation.
Right.
So I was fully going to embrace it and just let go of the terror as much as I could.
I'm so glad that you were able to do that, because I know there will be other parents listening to this podcast. And they may have a daughter who's just a baby, or they may be expecting a baby and it may be a girl, and they may be wondering, is it going to be possible for that baby to have a baby someday? And knowing that you were able to enjoy it way back in 2022 when Lucy was born, that's really inspiring to these other families to know that, wow, if it could be possible then, just imagine, fast forward another 20 years or 30 years. What will medical technology come up with by then?
Remember Megan's surgeon, Dr. Marshall Jacobs, he would tell me when I would call him all of the time because she was doing gymnastics, wanting to make sure, is this okay? Is this okay? And hey, this is why we do the surgeries. We do them so that she can enjoy her life. And there was something that she couldn't do. So that's why if the doctor said it was okay, that's why she had the surgery, so she could live a full life that she could enjoy.
Exactly. That's exactly how I felt with my child as well. Tell me about seeing your little baby granddaughter. I know you're not going to say granddaughter. Okay, maybe. Your daughter's daughter.
Maybe.
Lucy. We'll just call her Lucy. We'll just call her Lucy. Tell me about seeing Lucy for the very first time.
Yeah, it took a couple days because Megan had to be in the ICU after she had her, and Lucy wasn't able to be brought up. And so I was going to wait until I was with Megan to see her. So I didn't
want
to see her. And I
Boy, you have a lot more self-control than I've had. Well,
Megan had the most amazing attitude. She was devastated that the nurse gave her first bath. or changed her clothes. Megan was heartbroken that she wasn't there for it, but she kept telling herself, there are so many parents who they have to send their babies off to surgery. She said, I'm just not going to see Lucy for a few days. It's okay. So I was like, I'm going with her attitude. I'm good. And when I finally saw her, I'm actually not a big baby person myself. I'm not someone who gets all excited about babies. So I was like, what is this going to be like when I see her? Own babies that were amazing, but other people's babies, I don't know. When I saw Lucy, though, like the second I saw her, I was like, oh my gosh, she's so cute. I was immediately in love with her and just wanted to see her. I still get just thrilled every day. Megan sends me a picture, like if I haven't seen her in a couple days. And I see that Megan sent me a message like, is that a picture of Lucy?
Aww.
Oh my gosh. She was just adorable and I just loved her to death the second I saw her.
Home Tonight Forever by the Baby Blue Sound Collective.
I think what I love so much about this CD is that some of the songs were inspired by the patients.
Many listeners will understand many of the different songs and what they've been inspired by. Our new album will be available on iTunes, Amazon.com, Spotify.
I love the fact that the proceeds from this CD are actually going to help those with congenital heart defects.
Enjoy the music.
Home Tonight Forever.
This content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The opinions expressed in the podcast are not those of Hearts Unite the Globe, but of the hosts and guests, and are intended to spark discussion about issues pertaining to congenital heart disease or bereavement.
You are listening to Heart to Heart with Anna. If you have a question or comment that you would like addressed on our show, please send an email to Anna Jaworski at anna@hearttoheartwithanna.com. That's anna@hearttoheartwithanna.com. Now, back to Heart with Anna.
Meg, it was so much fun for me to talk with your mom, but now I want to bring you into the spotlight. This is going to be your very first Mother's Day with Lucy. Do you have any special plans?
I think that one of the most special parts about this, obviously, is the fact that it is my first Mother's Day, but also I'm living in Cincinnati for the first time in, I think, over 5 years. So I'm right next to my mom for the first time in over 5 years. And so it's going to be my first Mother's Day as a mom, her first Mother's Day as a mom, And I think that we're going to have some special time together, and maybe Dustin will watch Lucy for a little bit and we'll go get some spa treatments or something.
Oh, that sounds nice.
But I think the most special part about this year is going to be the fact that we're all going to be together. And I think that I'm going to be moving away again. And we're really trying to take the most that we have together. And so that's going to be the best part about this year.
Yeah, I was talking to Patty before you signed in, and she was saying that your husband's a travel nurse, so she never knows where you're going to be, but you're here right now, just 20 minutes away, which is so awesome. And you'll be there for a whole year, right?
Yes. And so we have been here since like September. And so we're going to end up leaving again in September. However, we are going to be headed up to Alaska. So pretty much as far as it goes. Sorry, Mom.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
However, my mom's master plan of keeping me in Cincinnati is working. I had a fall and hurt my foot, and she was able to run over and come and get me and help. And then a couple weeks later, I ended up getting sick and she was able to come and help. And so having her next door has been invaluable very recently.
It sounds like it. Plus, how awesome is it for Lucy to get to know her mom's mom?
Oh, of course. I think that's been just so special to be able to see her be able to grow up and be able to be right next to her and just be able to get to know her grandmother, mom's mom.
We're going to have to do something about this, Meg. All right, Meg, now that you're a mother yourself, what do you appreciate most about your own mother?
There's so much I appreciate, and I think that each day, honestly, there becomes something new that I realize as being a parent that she had done that I had no idea about. And beyond just taking care of me as someone growing up with a heart defect and really letting me set my own limitations, I truly don't understand how she did that.
Yeah.
Truthfully, with Lucy just learning how to sleep on her stomach and rolling over, I had to tell myself, okay, my mom had to watch me after multiple open heart surgery. I think I can manage this. And so there's just so many things that I think about. I truly have no idea as heart parents how you can just watch. It's just such a different viewpoint that I had, because as a patient, you go through this journey with your own perspective and your own view. And so now being a parent, I just can't imagine how lift that must be to have that be your experience.
Yeah, I know that I looked at my mother with completely fresh eyes after I gave birth to my first baby. And I cried when Joey was born. I actually cried. I was so happy to see him for the first time. And I just felt this overwhelming flood of love come over me. And I thought, wow, this is how my mom felt.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that I truly didn't realize, because my mom and most parents, and I've said this before, that if you have a child who is chronically ill, as a parent, you want to take away that pain. You want to take away the sickness. You want to take away everything from your child that could cause them harm. And I remember hearing that, but never truly believing it, because why would someone want this? And so now as a parent, I get to tell myself, I am so glad that it's me and not Lucy. When she would tell me that, and when parents truly say that they wish that they could take your pain away, that is true. And that was something very impactful for me recently that I appreciated more about my mom, was just the selflessness in her as a person and just all that she has done for me, and how much she has given up probably her mental sanity to be able to have me live as normal, quote unquote, a life as possible. I think that as a parent, you almost have to lose your sanity a little bit sometimes to be able to let your kids spread their wings. So I truly appreciate how much my mom had to let go to be able to let me do that.
Yeah, I'm so happy to hear you say that, because I think when you are a heart mom and you're watching your children grow up, you do have to be protective to a certain degree, but you also do feel like what Patty was saying with me earlier, that we had you go through those surgeries so you could live as normal a life as possible. And so letting you spread your wings while we were terrified that something would happen, it really is a struggle that you go through mentally. And I love how your mom always strove to have a positive attitude. And it's actually something that we talked about on the listserv many, many moons ago, was when those of us who had heart kids were struggling, what do we do? And we really encouraged each other to see the good and to see the positive and to stay as upbeat as possible, because we knew our children would pick up on those vibes from us.
Absolutely. And of course, to mention in the same breath, your kids will also pick up if you aren't taking care of yourself as well. And I think that is something that is also needing to be a priority that isn't. And I can totally see how you can neglect yourself and your own mental health to make sure that your kids are doing okay. But your kids will 100% be able to notice if you aren't your happiest, or they can pick up on subtle cues that you may not realize. And so always remember to make sure you're taking care of yourself as well, because you're not going to be able to take care of your kids the best of your ability if you're neglecting yourself as well.
That's so true. And I think it's something that so many of us heart moms are guilty of. We spend every single moment doing for others, and we always put ourselves last. And I think that's just a mom thing. And I'm sure you're seeing that yourself as a mom. But I love the fact that you said for Mother's Day, maybe Justin can watch Lucy so you and your mom can go have a spa day. I just love that. I think that's a great idea. Hope, if you're listening to this podcast, you and I should go have a spa day.
Exactly. Okay. I told Dustin, here's the deal. I will watch her for Father's Day. You watch her for Mother's Day. We have a nice breakfast all together. And you can go do your thing. Happy Father's Day. Happy Mother's Day to me.
I love it. I love it. Okay, Frank, I'm going to have to make sure you listen to this podcast so we can make the same kind of deal. Before we end this segment and bring your mom into this studio with us, I have to know if there's ever been a time yet. You're still a really young mom, so it may not have happened yet, but have you ever said, oh my goodness, that wasn't me saying that. That was my mom.
For me, I think that my mom and I are so similar in our thought process. We say very similar things. This has always been something we say. But I think the thought process is something that I catch myself and go, oh my gosh, that's exactly what my mom would do. And things like that. My mom always taught me growing up, there's always a plan B, C, D, E, F. There's always plans. There's always a solution. And so she was a very solution-oriented person. But if I find myself in a situation where I am trying to find a solution, that's where I can feel and sense my mom coming into me and saying that in the way that I think, in the way that my thought process is.
Anna Jaworski has written several books to empower the congenital heart defect, or CHD, community. These books can be found at Amazon.com or at her website, www.babyheartspress.com. Her bestseller is The Heart of a Mother, an anthology of stories written by women for women in the CHD community. Anna's other books, My Brother Needs an Operation, The Heart of a Father, and Hypoplastic Left Heart Syndrome, a handbook for parents, will help you understand that you are not alone. Visit babyheartspress.com to find out more.
Heart to Heart with Anna is a presentation of Hearts Unite the Globe and is part of the HUG Podcast Network. Hearts Unite the Globe is a nonprofit organization devoted to providing resources to the congenital heart defect community to uplift, empower, and enrich the lives of our community members. If you would like access to free resources pertaining to the CHD community, please visit our website at www.congenitalheartdefects.com for information about CHD, the hospitals that treat children with CHD, summer camps for CHD survivors, and much, much more.
So now we have both mother and daughter in the studio. Lucy's taking a nap, so she doesn't get to be part of this yet. So ladies, please share with me a special mother-daughter memory that each of you have of each other. And Meg, I'll start with you, and then Patty, you'll go second.
There are a lot of memories to choose from, and I think that when I was trying to rack my brain on trying to choose just one memory, it was difficult. And so I narrowed it down to two. There is one memory for me as a kid that I remember so clearly and vividly. And my family lived in Puerto Rico for 6.5, 7 years. And so we lived near the ocean, and we would call where the waves would break at the shoreline, the danger zone. And so my mom and I would go and get inner tubes, and we would sit where the waves would break at the beach and call it the danger zone, and then just get piled and shot by these waves and then just thrown into the sand. And it was a lot of fun. That was just her as a mom. She was just really hands-on into everything. She was not someone to sit back and watch. And then I think for me, as an adult reflecting back, this was a memory that is really special to me. When I was younger, when we moved to Puerto Rico, my mom really took a hold of my gymnastics training and learned as much as she possibly could to be able to keep me in this program that was U.S. based. So she would go to Congress for gymnastics and stay there for days and learn all these techniques, all of the latest gymnastic tools, all of the latest gymnastics resources, just so that she could do the best for me and know everything that she possibly can to get me to be the best gymnast I can be. And so as a child, that was just a fun activity that I got to do with her. But now as an adult reflecting back, she took so much time and effort just to go and learn so that way she could be the best possible coach for me in gymnastics and give me the opportunity to stay up with my peers when we were living in Puerto Rico.
Oh, I just absolutely love both of those memories. That's really special. Okay, Patty, it's your turn. What's your favorite mother-daughter memory?
Same thing. It's very hard to one's very general and then one specific. Generally, growing up with Megan, she was just the most fun daughter I could have ever dreamed up. I always tell her, if I could have dreamed up the best, craziest, most fun daughter, I couldn't have even dreamed her up. Because we just did so many things together. She was my little tag along for absolutely everything. And she was anxious to try anything that she could try that was new. And people would tell me all the time, you guys are the most amazing mother-daughter pair ever.
Aww.
Because I absolutely, truly enjoyed having her around and doing things with her. It was not a job at all. We just had fun going everywhere. And then a specific memory that I'll bring up that is actually very much heart related. I remember looking through a catalog. I actually remember it was a Hannah Anderson catalog when Megan was probably about one. And I was looking at all of these kids in the catalog, thinking all of these parents can totally take for granted that their kids are going to be five or that their kids are going to be 10. But I always said, all of these parents take for granted that their kids are going to go to kindergarten. That's what I said all the time, that you don't know how lucky you are to take for granted that your kids are going to kindergarten. So when Megan's kindergarten graduation rolled around, there was a song that they sang. And of course, going to the graduation, I was like, oh my gosh, all of these years I said that you're so lucky to take that for granted. And they said this song and it was like saying something, I'm so grateful for you. And then she would have a giant smile on her face and point to where her dad and I were sitting. And aww. I absolutely lost it. I mean, putting my head in my lap and sob.
Oh,
everyone
gosh.
Around me knew Megan's history. And some moms were putting their hands on my shoulder. Because I was out sobbing. I couldn't believe she just graduated from kindergarten.
Oh, what a special memory.
That was definitely a very special memory. But yeah, her whole growing up and still now, I absolutely just love every minute with her. I have so much fun with her.
Oh, I just love that. That's so special. I think we experience things so differently, the parents who don't have a child with a heart defect. And it's the little things. And sometimes I think it's things that catch you off guard. Like I imagine that caught you off guard.
Yeah, I knew going into it was probably going to be pretty
You but already did.
What you're saying, in a way, when you are raising a child with a chronic, serious condition, there is a part of that that's a gift because you really learn to not take things for granted.
Yes.
That you definitely, so many people take for granted. You learn to cherish everything.
Everything. Yep. I agree 100%. Okay, ladies, I'd love for you to share with me a piece of motherly advice that your mother shared with you and tell me the special meaning behind it.
I would say I really can't remember my mom like actually vocalizing advice like that, but she always had a theme going with her. She's just a very ethical person, full of so much integrity. Mm. And I can't think of one moment in her life where I can say, wow, she didn't even care about that. Or I can't believe she made that decision knowing that she shouldn't have done that. My mom raised me to know it is so important to keep doing the right thing. I do remember her saying the right thing for the wrong reason is wrong. The wrong thing for the right reason is wrong. Like you need to be doing the right thing for the right reason. And I'm really grateful to have grown up with a mom just absolutely full of integrity with what she does.
I love that. What about you, Meg?
Actually, funny because it stays on theme. And so I think I understand now where this originally might have funneled down from. My mom would always say this to me, and I had a poster in my bedroom that also said this. It was, stand up for what is right, even if you're standing alone. And that truly defined so much of my life. I have and always will be the person that if someone is sitting alone at lunch, I will be the one to go sit with them. And I think that is something that my mom has always ingrained into me, beyond making sure you're doing the right thing, is always lead with kindness. And I think that there is no better way to live than to lead with kindness. And you never know what anyone else is going through. And my mom really taught me how to put myself in other people's shoes. And I think truly, in general, the emotional intelligence that she really taught me was pretty incredible. That all in itself, I've just been really grateful to have.
I guess all of our mothers took a page from the mother's handbook, because I was thinking about this myself. What piece of motherly advice did my mom give me? And it's funny, because one of the things that popped into my mind was, mom always said, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything. And exactly what you just said, Meg, she said, you never know what somebody's going through. And sometimes just giving somebody a smile, you can make somebody's day, because we don't know what they're suffering from. And just like your mom, my mom was very big on being kind to others and showing love to everybody. So I think all of our mothers are amazing.
Thanks, Meg.
Oh, this has just gone by way, way too fast. But before we leave, let's please share some advice with our listeners regarding being a mother who has a child with a heart defect and living with a congenital heart defect. And Meg, this time I'll start with you, since you're the one living with it.
Yeah, I think that for me, being honestly a mom with a heart defect and the things that I'm going to do and prioritize in my life is go to a professional such as a therapist just to help navigate the difficult discussions with your kids and allow them the opportunity and space to ask questions with age-appropriate responses. And I think that's something for me, obviously, in my life with my kid, my priority is going to be making sure that she has a space to be able to communicate, ask questions, and feel like she has an understanding to whatever she wants to understand of what is going on with my health. And that's the biggest piece of advice that I would have for moms with congenital heart defects or chronic illnesses in general, is to not push your kids to the side in these difficult discussions, of course, with age-appropriate responses. But my husband lost his mom due to liver cancer. However, she had chronic illness her whole life, and his parents did the best that they possibly could. And being able to talk to Dustin about being a child in that situation that he wishes could have been changed, it gives us a different approach than at least I would have done without those discussions with Dustin. And so when I try to give advice, I try to take what Dustin has told me and the things that he says he wishes that he had. And one of those big things is having those bigger discussions and not being in the dark, even though as a parent, you probably want to shield away the scary things, but a lot of times it just makes it more confusing. And so that's my biggest piece of advice, is go to a professional such as a therapist and just have them help you navigate those difficult discussions, and don't feel like this is all on you, because that's why they're there as a professional.
Oh, I just love that advice. I think you're so right. It's just like what we opened with at the beginning of the show, where you were telling me what you appreciate about your mother now that you're a mother yourself. And of course, you want to shield your children from anything harmful, from anything dangerous, from anything that might upset them. And what would upset a child more than knowing that their mother is sick? But I think you're right. You're not sick with the flu. You're sick with a chronic condition. And having that conversation early, I think, is a really smart idea. Mommy has a boo-boo on her heart. And you start out simple, and then later you can say what is going on, just so that they're not in the dark. And you know what? To let them be part of any healing processes that you have to go through, that gives them a little bit of power in a time when they would feel the most powerless.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all about trying to give some sort of sense of power and control to really anyone in these uncontrollable situations, including myself.
Exactly. I love that. That's great advice.
Yeah. And a lot of times with Lucy, I just try to think of myself in situations and say, really, what type of support would I want, and try to be able to give that to her as well, so she can feel supported beyond just her family, which is obviously always going to be here for her.
I just absolutely love that advice. Okay. So motherly advice for mothers who have adult daughters with congenital heart disease.
Yeah, I definitely would want to piggyback off of some of the things that Megan said. As far as the speaking with a therapist or the whole mental health aspect of raising a child with any type of chronic condition that's going to affect them for a while or the rest of their lives, it is, I think, absolutely so important to have mental health be part of the treatment, the whole plan, because they're dealing with something that's so scary. It's in their face all of the time. Kids are going to make moments to them. I think now people know so much more about the importance and the long-term ramifications of not taking care of the kids' mental health and addressing that as they're growing up. I think that should be an absolute automatic part of your yearly visits.
Yeah.
Is it a time to be talking with somebody if the kids are going through something particular in the moment? Because experiences that you have as a child, that shapes the way that your brain develops.
Absolutely. And nobody talked to us about this, did they?
Not at all.
Nobody. This was completely foreign territory. And I think it's because way back when, a couple of decades ago, and in your case, 3 decades ago, the whole focus was on survival.
Right.
Thank goodness, right? Because now, since they were so focused on survival, now we have the advantage of seeing these kids go through their teen years and grow up and become adults, but we missed a big part of the puzzle, didn't we?
I think people know more now, but if you are a family raising a child with a heart defect and they're not paying attention, like in their visits when they go to the doctors with the whole mental health aspect, I would absolutely make sure that becomes part of their visits that they have, and then deciding if it's something that needs to be done more frequently. So that's one thing. I also was very careful to make sure Megan's heart defect never felt like part of who she is. Like, it is something that she has and it sucks. And I would do anything to have her not be born with it. But the fact is, this is what happened. But I was really careful to not make her feel like that was part of who she was. She was an amazing and is an amazing person who has a heart defect, and there's so much that comes along with that. But I really think it's important to not have that feel like her identity or part of her identity. And then also, I would say that I think any child that has a chronic condition needs to feel involved in their healthcare as early as possible, literally as soon as they can talk. Like, when you go to a visit, I remember doctors looking at me, asking me, how's Megan been feeling? I said, let's ask Megan, sitting right there. Because I think that feeling like you don't have control over something, whether you're a child or an adult, that's where things feel the most scary. But the more you feel capable and in control, the better you're going to feel. So I had her start filling out forms when she was super young. As soon as she could start writing, you could have them write their name on it. Keep that going as they grow. So I remember when Megan ended up going into a hospital, though, when I wasn't anywhere around, it wasn't with her heart. And I was like, I feel so good. I feel like she's going to handle this great, because she's so used to interacting with the health professionals, filling out forms, answering questions. So I think that's super, super important. And then the last thing I would add is, I think it's so important to never hold back your kids based on your own fears. I remember I called Dr. Jacobs. He was her surgeon, but he let me call him all the time or message him with questions. And as long as he said something was okay, like, I might sit there, watch her doing gymnastics, and inside I was dying thinking, oh my gosh, this looks like it's so dangerous for her. But I think it's so important to never hold your kids back as long as they've gotten the medical okay for them to do something, let them go. Because like I said before, that's the whole reason that we did these surgeries. And if you want them to grow up to be a healthy, capable, empowered adult, you have to not protect them more than they need growing up.
Yeah, I agree. And it's so hard. I remember Hope wanted to go to Germany to do an internship during college. And she got the okay from her cardiologist. And I was talking to another friend of mine who's also a heart mom. And she said, how can you do that? How can you possibly allow her to go so far away from you? And I said, because this is why we had her have those surgeries, so she could live the life she wanted to. And yes, I'm terrified, but I want her to feel the freedom. I want her to be able to travel. And we've already taken care of identifying a good hospital, a good doctor. I know she's going to be okay. And like you said, I knew she knew how to take care of herself. Even though it drove me crazy, Patty, because the minute she turned 18, she was like, okay, Mom, you're not going to any more of my doctor's appointments. I've got this. You've been training me my whole life. And I thought, but wait a minute.
And there were plenty of times where I would let Megan do something and I would be sitting looking through like, door crack or something. What? I'm terrified inside and I'm letting you do it. And I'm not going to let you know that I'm terrified, but I am terrified though.
And I think that because of that, both of our daughters have been able to be very independent and live the quality life that we hoped that they would live before we even found out they had a heart defect. Don't you think, Patty?
Yep, exactly.
I have absolutely loved every minute of this. Thank you so much for coming on the program today, Patty. It was long past the time we should have been able to talk to each other.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's fun to do it with Megan here too.
It is. And Megan, thank you so much for coming back on the program and talking your mom into coming on the show with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
Friends, that does conclude this episode of Heart to Heart with Anna. Thanks for listening today. I hope you found this program as uplifting as I did. If you liked this episode, please consider becoming a patron of our program. You can go to our website, www.heartsunitetheglobe.com, and there's a button at the bottom for you to become a patron. And remember, my friends, happy Mother's Day, and you are not alone.
Thank you again for joining us this week. We hope you have become inspired and empowered to become an advocate for the congenital heart community. Heart to Heart with Anna, with your host, Anna Jaworski, can be heard at any time, wherever you get your podcasts. A new episode is released every Tuesday from noon Eastern Time.